All right, let's go to Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. All right, are you there? Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. I'm going to talk about God is sovereign, and that scares a lot of people because it sounds Calvinist, but God is sovereign. If you just so you know, if you see a church and they're sovereign grace, that means they're Calvinists. You need to, just so you know that. That'll help you. But God is sovereign. You know, we're not going to let some group or some doctrine or whatever steal the truth or make us afraid of the truth or, you know, make us think differently or ignore some great truth about God just because they make much of something and take it, you know, at the expense of other attributes of God. You know, God's pretty big. I mean, God being God, there's no way we can figure him out altogether. We just have to, you know, these things like we're doing here, taking one attribute at a time, that's about all we can do. About all we can handle. Really. It's about all we can assimilate about God. We can't just, he's so much, and everything about him covers so much ground that we can't comprehend it all. It's like trying to number the stars of the heavens or the sand by the sea. We can't do it. Let's read this verse. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now, y'all, see, that's talking about God. Who's going to say to God, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? No. God is sovereign. The sovereign means supreme, supremely powerful. He's the Almighty. The word sovereign, you don't find it in the Bible. It's one of those words that's real religious sounding and everybody uses, but it's not in the Bible. The word sovereign is not in the Bible anywhere. But the word Almighty is. It's in there 57 times at least. And it means the same thing. Almighty. Supremely powerful. The supreme being. Everybody wants to call him the supreme being. They want to refer. Well, he is. You ain't kidding. Supreme means the top. Nothing above him. He's the final authority. He's the final power. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus said. God is the all-powerful, almighty one. So that makes him sovereign. He can do what he wants in heaven, in earth. And ain't nobody going to say to him, what are you doing? You can't do that. Nobody can do that. God is sovereign. So we need to really get that in our mind. Pray with me again. Father, thank you for the word of God. Please help us to understand this in a way that will strengthen our faith and encourage our hearts. And Lord, help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It means supreme in power. It means supreme in dominion. He has control of everything. When you think about the sovereignty of God, that's the way that we ought to understand it. He has control of everything. We shouldn't fear and tremble about the things that are coming to pass around us. The psalmist said, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea, though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea, I'll not be afraid. Well, what was he banking on? The sovereignty of God. I mean, though the earth pass away and the heavens roll back as a scroll, there is still God. I mean, if our country falls, if we're taken over by some other country, if we're destroyed in a day like we read about in the Bible, God is still there. And God is still God. And if you belong to Him and you're born of Him, you don't have a thing to worry about. Now, if you're not, you got a whole bunch to worry about. But you just need to understand that God is sovereign. He's supreme in power. He's supreme in dominion. That means that nobody, no earthly pipsqueak is going to, no matter how powerful he is, how much power he has at his fingertips, he ain't nothing compared to God. God is above him. He's above every king, every president, every prime minister, every dictator in this world. God overrules him when he wants to, if he sees fit, if he thinks it best. You know, I was mentioning to you, I think I said something the other night about the submarine. One of these nuclear submarines having the power of all the power that was unleashed in 7 World War IIs, one submarine. That's how much power, firepower they've got. And the president's the one who has the power to say, shoot. Well, that makes him somebody here on earth, but God's above him. All God's got to do is just say to his heart, don't beat no more. And that's it for him. God can intervene no matter what that man does. God can stop it. God can help it. God is the sovereign. Nobody here is. They call the king, like the king of England, he was the sovereign ruler. That's what they say. That's the language they use. He's the sovereign ruler of the kingdom. Well, he might be over a little piece of dirt round inside his fences, but he ain't no sovereign. He ain't the sovereign. God is. God's sovereign. I mean, he's over everything. All the heavens, all these planets they think they're discovering, all the stars they're looking at, the universe that they can't find the end of, God is over it all. He's supreme in his ability to accomplish anything he wants to. Anything he thinks, says, or does, or wishes. He's able to accomplish it. Supremely able. He's superior to all others. Now that's what sovereign means. That's the definition of it. He's above everybody else. Above everything else. He's more powerful than anything else. Than everything else. All put together in one sum. It don't even compare to the power that God has. So there ain't nothing to worry about. I mean, there is a sovereign God. Beyond our comprehension. Ain't no need to fret. Ain't no need to worry. God's all-powerful and He's in control of everything in His universe. There's one who is the final authority. One. And has the absolute power to veto whatever men or angels determine to do. Men are determined to save the earth. They're going to blast asteroids out of the sky. One of them got in the other day. They said they didn't even see it until it entered the atmosphere. Man, they're on their toes, ain't they? Seen on the news this week, too, where there's one out there in the asteroid belt they've found, and it's just almost pure gold. Man, if they could just get that, everybody on Earth would be a trillionaire. Now, think about that. How valuable is it going to be if everybody's got it? It's like, you know, they said in Jerusalem, the stones were in the street like silver. I mean, silver was like stones in the street. I mean, it's so plentiful. Why, it wouldn't be worth nothing. You know, there's a diamond mine over in Russia where, man, it's just full of diamonds. But they're not just hauling them out there in train loads as fast as they can. You know why? Because the value of them would go down, where it'd destroy the market. And diamonds wouldn't be worth nothing if there's all kinds of them. The rarity of it and the scarcity of it is what makes it of high value. But I'm just saying God's all-powerful and He's control of everything. Men think they're going to save the earth from themselves. You know, we're destroying the earth. Man thinks too much of himself. He ain't going to destroy the earth. Can't do nothing. He can't stop the ocean. He can't stop a tsunami. He can't even stop a little old bitty wave. He can't do nothing. And he thinks he's all-powerful. No, God is all-powerful. The kings of the earth. Let me read you some more scripture here in Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. Psalm 2, 2 through 6. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Why in the world? The foolishness of man. They take counsel against the Lord, the kings of the earth, because they think they're sovereign. They get used to be calling sovereign, and they think they've got more power and authority than they really do. And against his anointed, against God's people, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. You know what the sovereign God of the universe does when men say, we don't have to do what he says. Let's just vote on it. Let's just all get together and say, we ain't doing it. You know what God does? He laughs at them because it's so foolish. How could he not laugh? Can you imagine looking down on the ground and seeing one of them little bitty tiny red ants shaking his fist at you and saying, I'm going to kill you? What would you do? I'd laugh and then I'd stomp him. That's what I'd do. Say, you're mean. Yeah. God laughs. I just read it to you. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He's in control of our individual lives as well as the nations of the world. He's in control of your life as well. God is sovereign in your life. If he's sovereign over the universe, then he's sovereign over me. That means he's way supreme over me. It means he's the final say about whatever happens to me. Think about it a minute now. Just think about it. Is that the way it is? With you? Do not be deceived into thinking that the future of the world depends only upon the governments and the armies of this world. You're not so caught up in all of this contemporary stuff, current events, and all the things that are happening. You're not so impressed with President Trump or Putin of Russia, or you ain't so impressed with all this weaponry they've got and everything that you think the future of the world is going to be whatever they determine or whatever they do. Are you? They do not hold the future of the world. I don't know who said it. I think I've heard it said, who said, I don't know if he said it or not, but it said World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Well, maybe. Sure don't take much to disable this modern weaponry. Boy, it's impressive, as long as everything works. But it all depends on so much that is very vulnerable, and they're working on that. You know, they've got weapons to shoot these satellites right out of the sky in a split second. And that's it. It's over. Ain't no GPS. How you fly your weapons that depend upon that then? God is sovereign, not man. Man is very foolish in every way. He thinks, it's like what we preached about this morning, only it's that way with all of humanity. Mankind as a whole, he acts the same way. He thinks that he knows way more than he does know. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what we've done as a people, as humanity. We've invented all kinds of things to kill each other with, but it's all real flimsy and shaky. And we think we've got her under control. We don't need God. Man, pretty soon we're going to think we can blow up another planet. They think they can invent atmospheres like in Mars. You know, that's what they're talking about, doing stuff like that. Just, you know, they can just take and change everything, and man can't do the least little thing. Ain't it disgusting to you and abominable to you to listen to some man, some young man, some boy, or even a girl brag about what all they can do and what they're going to do and how they can do when you know they can't do nothing? Did you ever know anybody like that? Claim to be an expert on everything, and they're as dumb as a rock about everything. And you know it, and everybody else knows it, and they still keep on and doing it. They keep on a bragging and a lying like they're something. Well, that's the way mankind looks before God. God is sovereign. I mean, and it's effortless with God. It doesn't strain Him to make the sun stand still for a day. Now, men say that is impossible. It ain't impossible with God because He did it. Yes, He did. Don't be deceived into thinking that Satan himself has free reign and can determine what happens with this world. Talks about him being the God, little g, of this world. But that don't mean he's got control of everything. That means he's able to influence mankind and the heart of man, and he can work his wickedness. But even he is limited, and he's already doomed and judged, and God is just waiting the day when he's going to face his end. The devil's not going to win this thing. He's never going to take control. God's going to put him in the bottomless pit forever. And we know that because God is sovereign. Christ is the creator. The first chapter of John tells us that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And it's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the creator of it all. And so He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's what the Bible tells us about Him. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I mean, He's the high and only potentate. That means all powerful. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's what He says there in the end. So, His word is the final authority. God is sovereign, which means He rules in the affairs of men and nations. He rules. God rules. His word is the final authority, whether men believe it or not, whether they submit to it or not. Whether they honor it or not, God's word is the final say. You ought to bank this, because this will help you in everyday life, in all of your little problems of life. It's part of our faith, part of real faith, the rest and the assurance and the peace that you have in God is based on this. This is a big part of it. If God failed here, if He wavered here, if he was weak here, if He was vulnerable here, then boy, our faith couldn't be sure. But He don't bend, and He don't break, and He don't fake, and He don't not show. No, God's right on time, every time, all the time. He knows what's going on. He's got a good handle on it. And it ain't going to, I mean, evil men's do is going to wax worse and worse, but there's a point where they're not going to proceed any farther. Because God is the one that's in control. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." So He setteth up kings and He removeth kings. So it's the people that elect Him, huh? That's how He does it. No, Bible says God does that. Yeah. God sets up kings. We've been reading about Saul and how God made him the king. Oh my, what a mess. The people wanted a king. They wanted a king. And boy, they got one. Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. And God removed Saul shortly thereafter also. So he's done. And he set up another king in Saul's place. So it's God who does that. Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. That's the way things work in this world. It's God who does it. You know, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I'm thankful for the way things are right now as far as our president and all that. I mean, I tell you over and over, I'm not a fan of his, but I'm glad he's in there instead of the alternative. You better believe it. But what's going to happen? I mean, it's just 4 years at a time. What's going to happen if one of those nutcases get in there like we've been watching this week? What are we going to do when we have a leader like that? Well, don't fret about it too much. Won't you just trust God? Won't you just believe God? What do we deserve as a nation? We deserve worse than that. We deserve a Nero or somebody like that. We ought to be thankful to God if it's not somebody like that. It's going to have to get bad before people will get serious about getting right with God. I mean, it's going to have to, you know, it's going to have to draw blood. That's all there is to it. And I don't even know then if it would wake up the hard-headed, stubborn, drunken on this world people that sit in church pews now. I don't know if it would or not. I doubt it, really. God is not recognized by many anymore as the Almighty. He's not talked about in those terms. He's not thought about in those terms. Most people have a God that they claim to know and love that is only a creation of their own mind and an imagination of their own heart. Now, we've been preaching about idolatry, and that's what it is there. He's there for support and for help in their times of trouble and need and all of that. But he's not almighty in their lives, nor in the world that they live in. They don't look at him or think of him as that way. He's just a nice friend to have. Really. He won't bother you. He won't interfere in your life. He won't expect nothing of you. He won't make your life uncomfortable in any way. He'll just be there to help you. He's a spare tire. He's the emergency thing that you call to help you in time of trouble. That's what God is to most people. He's not the Almighty. They don't fear him. He ain't to be feared. He loves. He just loves everybody. Ain't no need to fear God that loves. That's because they don't realize that he's almighty. They don't realize that he's sovereign. They're not thinking about that. They don't think of him in those terms. They refuse to serve a God who is sovereign over them or the world they live in. They will not have a God that'll rule over them. They won't have a God. Even if he didn't interfere with them, they don't want that idea. They don't want to think of God in those terms that he'll judge me or that I'm responsible or that he's, you know, they don't want other people to judge him. They don't want God to judge him either. You can mark that down. Somebody that's all the time, don't you judge me. They don't want God judging them either. So they don't know God. Again, the psalmist said, judge me. Search me, O God. What does that mean? Search me out. And show me, search my heart, and show me if there be any wicked way in me. I'd say that's judge me, O God. Judge me. These people that say, you ain't got no right to judge me, I guarantee you, they don't think God's got a right to judge them either. So they're not serving sovereign God. They've invented a God that doesn't rule over them, but who they call the shots for. They want to choose when they live and when they die, where they go and how they do everything. It's all up to them. They're sovereign over their own life. He's there to take them to heaven someday, but they're not interested in his dominion and lordship in their lives now. But a sovereign God is Lord over your life. And he is, and he does, you know, they do need to realize that. Now, These people are idolaters, not worshipers of the true God. This kind of person will also contend with God about what's going on in their life and try to bend God's will to conform to their own. They'll contend with God about what's going on in their life. If you believe God is sovereign, you'll quit arguing with Him. And you'll quit second-guessing Him. And you'll quit praying and begging and pleading Him to do something else with you. You'll just trust Him. If you realize He's sovereign, you'll just yield to God. Not my will, but thine be done. This shows that this person does not really trust God if he won't do that and believe in Him. If you won't yield to God's working in your life, then you don't really trust Him. You really don't have faith in Him. Things happen, and sometimes they're very hard to swallow. I mean, you lose a loved one, you know, a child or something like that. I can't imagine anything being harder than losing a child. There's things in life that are harder, but you know, we can't imagine how hard of things that can happen to us. I mean, you sitting here tonight, and I know everybody here will say, "Boy, I've had something in my life. I'm telling you, I don't imagine how it could be any harder." There is something harder. I promise you. There's something still yet harder. And when you go through them things, the first thing you do is what? What's the first thing that goes through your mind? Why, God, why? Well, that's not unnatural to do that, but it sure don't coincide, don't go along, it don't jive with real faith. Sure, we all do that, but it ought to immediately, if the Spirit of God's in you, you ought to immediately feel the checks. And the Spirit of God will force you in your heart to say, "Oh, well, you know, God is God. He loves me. He won't do me wrong. He said He'd always be with me. He allowed this. He knew about it before I ever knew it was coming. And God's sovereign. He's over all. He knows what's best. It'll all be all right." That's what the comfort of the Holy Ghost is. It's somehow God just communicates to your heart, "It's going to be okay. It's all right. Just sit still. Just wait. It'll be all right." And when God says that to you, suddenly it's okay. You comfort your little children, don't you? They bong their head or something and they come a-crying. "Oh." Well, what do? Well, you hold them, don't you? Unless you're mean like Esther back here and say, "You dummy." But I'm sure they will say, "We learned it from you." He comforts you. And He comforts you with this fact: God's sovereign. It's not all lost. This whole thing ain't going down the drain. If it does, it's okay. God's still God. What in the world did Noah feel like on the ark the night of the first day of the flood? Knowing that the whole world was gone. The night before, they'd all been there partying, and the noise and the lights of the world were still, and now they're out, gone. Everything's gone. Did you ever just sit and meditate and think about stuff like that? What did he feel like? What did he feel like when they opened the door of the ark and they stepped out on the ground and knowing that the whole world was absolutely empty? There wasn't another creature. There wasn't another person. There was not another sound on this earth except what was with him in the ark. You can't even get your mind around that, can you? Well, what was there still? All the people were gone, and every animal that breathed was gone. But there was still God and the ones He saved on the ark. God didn't miss a lick. And God is sovereign. If He says the earth is going to end tonight, if He says everybody on earth is going to die today, they'll die today. Nobody's going to stop Him. He did it one time. He did that very same thing. That very thing. All right. God in His sovereign will may permit things in our life that are difficult and seem unreasonable to us. But that's where faith comes in. It's how our faith is tested and tried. There's no other way for our faith to be tested and tried, except for things to happen to us that make it look like all the outward circumstances make it look like God has abandoned us. But God hasn't abandoned us. You got to know that He's sovereign. He ain't going to abandon you. He's going to be there. When heaven and earth pass away, God's still going to be there. Now, if we believe in the God of heaven who created all things, we got to accept the fact that He is sovereign. He's the King. And He is not only able, but He will always do what's right in His sight with us and with everything He created. God reveals a lot about His will in His written word here. And because He's sovereign, we should not debate about it with Him or with others, but simply accept what He says as final authority. I don't know, long time ago, I just figured it out and decided in my own heart and submitted to it that if God told me to jump off the floor, I'd jump off the floor. Or stand in the corner, I'd stand in the corner. Whatever. Just believe God and obey God, what He says, whether you understand it or not. Most of the time, you ain't going to understand it. My, a lot of examples in the Bible of that. Peter, rise and eat. He said, oh, no, Lord, no. What about Abraham? Take your son, your only son, Isaac, and take him up there to Mount Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering. Burnt sacrifice. Does that sound reasonable? Did it sound like God? No, didn't sound like God. But he knew it was God. Trial of Abraham's faith, see, was being commanded by God to do something that was totally wrong, out of character with God altogether. But Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed, according to what the Bible tells us, he believed that if he offered Isaac, God would raise him from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. He knew what it was all about. And he just believed God. He believed that life and death was in God's hands, and it didn't matter. He trusted God. The fact that God is sovereign is a great comfort and assurance to those who trust Him. Knowing that God is in control of things gives us rest and comfort in our soul. When those things come into our lives which are beyond our ability to deal with or cope with, we can cast our burden upon the Lord, knowing that He's in control. Every trial is watched and measured by Him. You need to remember that. Don't ever think that God is not watching, or that He's turned His back, or that He's forgotten you. No, He's watching very carefully. And it'll not start or stop any longer than is necessary for His purpose to be accomplished. When the world around us seems like it's going to explode at any moment, we can remind ourselves that God is in control of it all. Everybody's worried about Yellowstone going to blow up out there. Do you lay awake at night worrying about that? I don't. It may blow up tomorrow. Sure might. Looks like it. But let the world run around and shake and fear and tremble. I ain't going to. It's God's volcano. It ain't going to get out of control, out of His control. If He says blow up, then I say amen. Blow her up. When you get to the point where you love God more than you love life here, it'll be a happy day for you. You can find rest for your soul when you quit worrying about living here and thinking that life ending here is the end of all things. No, it ain't. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of everything for the child of God. Sovereign God. Glad He's that way. When it seems like the people of this world are going to ruin the whole thing, and run it into the ground one day. Run it into the ground. We can turn to God and know that He's watching and that He'll intervene at exactly the right time. Yes, He will. Yeah, Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout, just at the right instant of time. And He's going to say, come up hither. He's going to say, come out of her, my people. That's the same call, I think. He's going to snatch us away, catch us away. Then let the world burn. Let her burn. I ain't got a thing that I want to take with me of my junk. I don't care a bit about it. Ain't going to need it there, thankfully. Ain't going to have to worry about it there. No, sir. Whoever's left can have it, and they ain't going to need it long here either. It ain't going to do them much good. Knowing that God is almighty, sovereign, and has all things under His control makes it easy for us to put our little selves under His watch and care. Yes. When you lay your head down tonight, just realize that God is sovereign. He's in control. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Well, don't worry, He will. I'm trying to think of the verse. I will both lay me down and sleep. In peace and sleep. That's it. I knew peace was in there. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Not be afraid of the arrows by night. You know, what have I to fear? I will not fear. Why? Because God, the Lord, He's sovereign. Ain't nobody going to overrule Him, sneak up on Him, bypass Him. God's in control of everything. All right. An essential part of faith is knowing that God is sovereign. Here's a verse, Luke chapter 8 and verse 25. And Jesus, he said unto them, where is your faith? Well, they were out on the ship. This is when they was out on the ship and the sea and the storm and everything. And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I mean, the disciples were still wondering about the fact that he was, even the wind and the waves obeyed his voice. Does that surprise you? Should they have been surprised? That shouldn't have been a surprise to them. Think about it here. They knew who he was. It's Peter who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Well, they shouldn't have been surprised that that a little old wind and a little old wave would obey him. If he's really the one who created the universe and he's sovereign over all and he's the almighty God, why would they be surprised that he could distill the water and the wind? How powerful is that in his sight? It ain't nothing. It shows you how puny man is. They're on a little boat and it's tossing in the winds and the boats are filling up and they're going to sink, they're going to drown. Ah! He just says, peace, be still. And that's it. Immediately, it was calm. And they thought, what? Does it surprise you when God does that? When you think you're overwhelmed and you think this ain't no way out of this, and then God just... You ever been surprised like that? Me, over and over and over and over. How long does it take to learn God's sovereign? Most people, it takes a lifetime before they even begin to get it. All right, let me just say this and I'll be done. If the winds and the waves obey Him, it should be no problem for us to trust Him to bring this whole creation to a just and final conclusion. It's our hope, see, it's the blessed hope, really, that this thing is all going to come to a conclusion, and God, it'll be just, and it'll be fair and right, and it's going to end well because God is almighty, and He is the sovereign God. That's what our hope is. If I didn't know that, then it would really caused me to have a lot of anxiety. Because, boy, from where we sit down here under the clouds, it don't look like things are going to turn out too well right now. But look beyond it. Amen. And remember, God's in control. Amen. Well, let's stand. You meditate on God and you think about Him. You think about these things. Just pick out something like this and just study about it and think about it. Boy, it'll make you wonder at God. Lord, we thank You for the good Lord's Day in the house of God. Thank You for the Word of God and how blessed it is to our soul. Please help us to keep it nurtured in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the understanding that You give us. And Lord, help us to remember what a wonderful God we serve and how safe we are in Your care. Please go with us now. Please watch over us through the week. Please deal with hearts of those that are lost, that are among us, Lord, among our loved ones. Please, Lord, let us see some victory and some breakthrough in some souls. Lord, I love You. Thank You for being our God in Jesus' name. Amen.